from the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time for Abandoned Manitoba. Gordon Goldsborough is here with us. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
What are we talking about this week?
We're visiting a lonely, hard-to-reach monument in the municipality of Two Borders. That's in the southwest corner of Manitoba. The monument illustrates why the municipality has that name. And in a way, the name also commemorates one of the most significant events in the history of Manitoba municipalities.
What event is that?
Well, in January of 2015, that's 9 years ago this month, the number of municipalities in Manitoba decreased from 197 to 137. That happened because in 1997, the provincial government had enacted legislation that required all municipalities with a population less than 1,000 people to merge with one or more of their neighbors to get above 1,000.
And what was the reason for this threshold of 1,000?
Well, I think it was thought that municipalities with small populations simply didn't have sufficiently large tax bases to provide the necessary municipal services and infrastructure. In 1996, the year before the new legislation came into force, about 26%, about a quarter of Manitoba municipalities had fewer than 1,000 people. I suspect that the provincial legislators hoped that small municipalities would see the benefits of having a larger population and would amalgamate voluntarily. Some did. And in 2003, for example, the town of Gimli amalgamated with the surrounding rural municipality of Gimli. But most other municipalities refused to consider amalgamation. So in 2012, the government announced its plan to move ahead with forced municipal amalgamations. Every municipality with a population under 1,000 had to prepare a plan for amalgamation by the 1st of January 2015.
And is this where the municipality of Two Borders comes in?
Yes, indeed. In the southwest corner of Manitoba, three municipalities, Albert, Arthur, and Edward, had a collective population of 1,300. In January of 2015, they merged to form the municipality of Two Borders. Now, I think it was an excellent name choice, as Two Borders is the only municipality in Manitoba that has an international border and an interprovincial border. No other municipality has those two. And the monument that I visited back in 2011, 4 years before the amalgamation, I think reflects this unique attribute.
And what is that monument?
Well, it was unveiled at a ceremony in June of 1970. There are actually two monuments at the site. One of the monuments is a simple slab of granite to which a brass plaque is fastened. It was put there by two commissions. One was the International Boundary Commission. That's a binational body of the Canadian and American governments that oversees all matters relating to the boundary between our two nations. The other group was something called the Manitoba-Saskatchewan Boundary Commission, and it was charged with determining the precise boundary between the two provinces. You know, we don't often think about interprovincial boundaries unless there's a basis for conflict. Here on Abandoned Manitoba, back in early 2022, we talked about the fight between Ontario and Manitoba over who owned Menaki, Kenora, and the surrounding areas. The matter was ultimately determined in Ontario's favor, but if it had gone differently, the vacation playground of northwestern Ontario would be part of Manitoba today. The Manitoba-Saskatchewan Boundary Commission worked between 1958 and 1972 to precisely survey the border between the two provinces.
So this first monument at the site was to commemorate the interprovincial boundary. What was the second monument you said was there?
Well, it commemorated the international boundary, and it's one in a network of over 8,000 similar monuments along the Canada-US border. Each of these monuments is made of stone in the shape of an obelisk, and it stands about 2 meters tall. A point on top of the obelisk marks the exact intersection of the state of North Dakota and the provinces of Manitoba and Saskatchewan. The stone is engraved Canada on its north side, United States on the south side, international boundary on the west side, and Treaty 1925 on the east side.
Okay, so I understand three of the sides, but what does Treaty 1925 mean?
Well, back in February of 1925, the U.S. Secretary of State and the Canadian Minister of Justice met in Washington, D.C. to sign a treaty under which the boundary between the two nations would be defined more accurately than had been done after an earlier treaty from 1908. Now, here in Western Canada, between Lake of the Woods and the Rocky Mountains, the 1908 treaty had entailed the erection of monuments roughly every 1 1/3 to about 1.5 miles along the 49th line of latitude. But because the Earth is a sphere, that line of latitude is a curve, so the surveyors erecting the boundary monuments had to position the monuments as accurately as the technology of the day would allow. By 1925, Canadians and Americans agreed to a simplified system where the border between successive monuments would be a straight line rather than a curve, even if it didn't quite follow the 49th line of latitude.
Now, you said at the beginning that the monument is hard to reach. What did you mean?
Well, when the two monuments were unveiled back in 1970, the ceremony was attended by dignitaries who flew from Winnipeg to Melita, then drove to the monument site on what a newspaper account described as, quote, a narrow track along the Canada-U.S. boundary. Well, today, there is no way to drive to this monument from Manitoba unless you'd go through private farmland. Instead, you drive on Manitoba Highway 251 out of Manitoba. You drive 3 miles west of the Saskatchewan border. Then you drive south 2 miles, then you drive east 3 miles, and finally 1 mile south to the border. Now, given this rather circuitous route, I bet that almost nobody ever visits this two-border monument today. Even back then, back in 1970, some of the dignitaries who had been invited to the ceremony didn't make it to this remote spot. Now, Manitoba's premier, Ed Schreyer, was there, but no shows included the premier of Saskatchewan. He blew it off. The governor of North Dakota, he wasn't there. And the Canadian Minister of Energy, Mines and Resources didn't make it either. So I don't know whether they had trouble finding the place or they just thought, oh, who wants to go to a remote place in the middle of nowhere?
Okay. Is it worth it, though? What does the site of this monument look like today?
Well, you know, I have not been back there since my visit 12 years ago, but it really was quite impressive at the time. I was impressed by how distinct the border was. There is, in fact, a 20-meter span that defines the border that they keep sort of clear of vegetation. But there was, when I was there, a barbed wire fence on the American side because a farmer there was using the land as a livestock pasture, and so they wanted to keep their cattle in. As a result of the cattle, the vegetation was closely cropped on the U.S. side, whereas on the Canadian side, I guess there wasn't any cropping, and so the vegetation was tall and lush. But in retrospect, when I think back on that visit, you know, I regret that I didn't spend more time looking around because when I was there, I didn't look any further than just this immediate monument. But that article, that newspaper story that I found from 1970 referred to another stone monument that had marked the boundary between Manitoba and Saskatchewan. And it was supposedly located about 100 yards north of the border. I never went to look for it. Ugh, it bothers me now. I want to go back. And I also would have liked to have known if another monument that was supposedly put up at the same time is there too. So back in 1970, the Manitoba and Saskatchewan Boundary Commission was said to have put up a second monument that marked the northern end of the Manitoba-Saskatchewan border. This one marks the southern end. They said they were going to put one up at the northern end as well. And well, if you look at a map, that spot is really remote. And I'm pretty dubious that anyone would go to the trouble of putting up a monument there. But who knows? You know, maybe one of our listeners can tell us if there's a monument existing at a point where Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Nunavut, and Northwest Territories all meet, or if the idea of putting there one when there was ultimately abandoned.
That would be so cool, though, hey?
Well, to get there, wow, that would be a job. You know, you'd have to, I guess, helicopter into the site because I looked at it in Google Earth, yeah. And it's forested, the whole area, so how they ever got there in the first place, how you'd get there now, no idea.
Yeah, if you thought this one was hard to get to,
yeah,
that one sounds
sure.
much
yeah.
more tricky. What's up for next week, Gordon?
We're going to discuss an organization here in Manitoba that pertains to history and heritage that was the first of its kind in Western Canada and only the fifth of its kind in all of Canada. Unfortunately, now it's potentially in jeopardy.
Gordon, thank you for this.
Talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No. Every every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.